Hello, thank you for joining me again on the Russell Brand Fancast. I have a very, very, very special episode for you today. You might have already heard this one, but it's the first time it's been on the podcast channel. It's on YouTube already, and it has been for quite some time, but I'm going to share it with you on here, so it's all in one place. This is my interview with the man himself, Russell Brand. Enjoy.
Go on then, what do you need to know?
Okay, well, thank you first of all for your time today. We appreciate that very much.
Thank you, thanks for doing it. Tell us what your podcast is, what's on it?
So, it's just me talking about what you've done from rebrand all the way up to yesterday.
Oh,
yeah. So I try and talk about everything. I try and review everything, but obviously, being a bit of a fan, it's very one-sided.
Oh, thank you. That's the way I prefer it. I don't want any balance. Now, we're here with Gareth Roy, who is the producer of most of my work from, well, not rebrand, actually, didn't produce that. When did we start working together with Gal?
It was 2006, One Leicester Square.
Did you watch One Leicester Square?
I didn't at the time, but I've seen it
since. Get out!
Ruined it.
I should have just said yes.
You've seen it since, eh?
I've seen it since, yeah. It's, some of it's on YouTube.
Yeah, there's that interview with Will Ferrell.
That was a biggie.
That's the favourite one, I think, generally.
What about Adam Sandler?
That was good, because I got a break in Hollywood.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
That was
Didn't want to go and see his film, though, did you?
Yeah, you know, you're meant to watch people's film to interview them, and funnily enough, we're meant to go and watch Al Gore's film after this, but guess what? I don't want to. So I've not changed that much.
No.
And, like, because if we do go and see Al Gore's film, we could interview Al Gore, but I would like to interview Al Gore, but I don't want to go to a screening. Yeah. I want to go home. I've got a cold.
We did go, though, because do you remember Sharon Osbourne was there?
Yeah, with some
the
dogs.
Dogs. And they were sniffling away.
The film was Click. So
that's
Adam
right.
Sandler was promoting Click, where he had a magic remote control that could make reality do stuff. Doesn't that sound like an outmoded idea now in this sort of in this day and age? And it was only
and then
I was just going to say, and what did you think of the film? If you could be honest,
he's always good, isn't he?
He's always good.
He's
Adam
always
Sandler,
good
because he's warm, isn't he? He's got that everyman quality.
That's right.
Like Matt.
He claims to be an everyman, but he's a very unusual, peculiar person. What do you think of the Matt Morgan Appreciation Society?
I'm on there.
Could you bring it down from within?
With your help, Russell, I reckon I could.
Because they're doing an event soon, August the 11th.
Oh, right, OK.
Is that what you posted earlier?
Yeah, I posted on there earlier, because I met Matt and G out the front.
Ooh.
And I took a picture of them. Within half an hour, we got over 156 likes or something like that.
Oh,
so
my
we
God.
Reckon that if we take one with you before we leave,
yes,
we'll post that and see if you can beat.
If it doesn't, I'll literally commit suicide.
Maybe not, then. Just
so that's best to take it. There's no point risking your life over a photograph, is there? Unless it's like proves the existence of aliens or something, then it would be worth it.
Right.
Come on, do your interview
on
now,
then.
Dan. Because you're both called Dan and you've not done any kind of interview yet.
No, I'll just let you talk because that's what we like to hear.
No.
Ask him some questions.
So, alright then, so far on the tour, what's been your most memorable moment and why?
There's a power cut last night.
Yeah, that was good.
That might be your memorable moment.
It was, because it was a change from the norm. Like, I think it's good when Carl Jung, he says, anytime something happens that you didn't plan for, this, he says, is the opportunity for God to come into your life. Carl Jung would have meant, I don't know what Carl Jung meant, but what I reckon Carl Jung meant was that beneath material reality is a secondary reality that's harder to observe because it is made of more subtle forms of energy, but nonetheless it's there. And sometimes if you're attuned to it, you can receive and understand this energy. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, it means you can be naughty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you like it.
Like to be naughty.
Mischievous.
It means I can go away from the script a little bit. And have
yeah. Yeah, that's right. Whether that script is the script of everyday life or even a performance space, Dan.
Indeed.
Ah, very good. So when you're performing, do you prefer to just sort of
do your improv, or do you prefer to stick to what you've written?
I think that the highest pleasure is improvised stuff when it's going well. That's the absolute apex. But in the world of improvisation, you're playing a more high-risk game. There's always the risk of subpar improvisation. I was listening to a gig that I'd done recently, and it was for I go to 12-step groups, and it was an anonymous 12-step group thing for people, drug people, right? And like, so the material would have been mostly spontaneous or just ideas. I'd have gone, oh, yeah, that'd be funny. And I was listening to, like, the first 5 minutes. I was thinking, oh, my God, this is brilliant. It's all rip-roaringly funny. Then, though, there's about a four-minute period where the standard drops, like, still all right, but it drops. And I thought, that's what happens when your things aren't honed. So things like last night, or, like, you know, the second half, for example, was all scripted. And, like, I like doing that also, but like the thing is, when something's completely new, is you're completely in the moment. And like, so Gareth pointed out, there was a thing last night where the man had filled in a survey and said his most embarrassing moment was when he'd had a threesome and he couldn't get an erection, and the worst bit of the threesome said this man pushing his winky into the lady's mouth.
Floppy winky.
He said floppy winky because Gareth produces all of does all of the surveys and prepares it all. So he says like a floppy winky, and I said in the moment. It's like putting a sleeping bag back in your loft. And image made me very happy to say that, that it came in the moment.
You can almost see, even from, I was probably about halfway back, and even from there you could see that, as you said that, there was a moment where you thought, that's actually brilliant, like that just happened.
I got excited, relishing it like a little show-off, wasn't I? Like a little seven-year-old girl, all pleased with herself, twirling about in a gingham frock at a picnic where everyone has already left. just ants on a Jaffa cake.
what was I going to say to you? When I first came to see you, it was back, just before you went to America, you did a one-off show in Northampton. And back then you were doing a lot of stuff where you'd just read stuff out of the newspaper and just take the piss out of it and just make it funny. Is there any chance you're ever doing that sort of stuff again, or have you moved away from that now?
No, we could do that again. But it's, the thing is when the gigs are bigger, it feels more risky because I'm sat down in a chair and I'm looking down at a newspaper and it shuts the audience off. And sometimes, nowadays more than ever, local newspapers are not as nuanced and as particular. Mm-hmm. Their stories are all centrally sourced, so you don't get as many funny little local cat up a tree raven in a barnyard type stories. You get more sort of news, sort of centralised news agenda and loads of adverts and stuff, and then really bleak, awful, tragic things about sort of lack of social care, underfunded things. So that's why that's waned somewhat.
Okay. So you've got to
do two questions to Gareth now, about, and it'll be about production and writing and and managing difficult talent. Those are the sort of areas you should be thinking about.
Managing difficult talent, not you, of course.
There you go, see? Because okay, Gareth for a while had to work with Alex Zane. Very punny.
Okay, go on, then. Do we ask the controversial question then? It's up to you whether you answer it or not. You might want to. Who is the most difficult talent you've worked with?
Well, it's Alex Zane, isn't it? Just heard.
Established. Just reaffirming that point.
No, he's lovely, Alex Zane, actually. I did work with him for a bit. He was lovely. Everyone is.
How can we get onto Alex Zane in a Russell Brand fan podcast in 2017?
He gets everywhere.
Oh, he's unstoppable.
No, I haven't really worked with difficult talent. I mean, look.
What about, hold on a minute, you did that podcast where you had to. Wasn't there a big argument with Katie Hopkins or something? Didn't you produce something quite recently?
Oh, that's right. But I wasn't really working with the talent. I did a show about voting, young people voting. It was on Facebook Live.
Which I've always said they should do.
And Katie Hopkins and Bob Geldof were there. But it was kind of produced.
It's like you're trying to do shows deliberately with the people that have been most cruel to me.
That's true,
isn't
it?
Katie Hopkins, she's hurt my feelings before. Bob Geldof called me to see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. It wasn't my idea. I don't mind. I don't know. I mean, look, talent is... I think it's a bit... You can't really think of it as talent versus, you know, you versus talent, because they're just people. And I think it's... I always think about working with talent. It's just about how would you work with your mates, and you would have to ultimately be reasonable and explain why certain things are happening and be as kind of honest and open as you can. And then, obviously, you learn certain techniques as you... do more and more producing in terms
of these
of
techniques you've been doing.
Lies, lots of lies. But no, I mean, I just think if you, for me, I've usually worked with, and certainly I've, most of my career I've worked with Russell. So it was about we began working together because I thought Russell was really good at what he did. And at that point, it was mainly stand-up that I'd seen. I hadn't really seen him do TV stuff. And I was just hoping that we could convert the talent that I'd seen in Russ doing stand-up into you know, various TV formats, because at the time I was a TV producer. And, yeah, the other days, they were a bit mad, weren't they? I mean, but I was 26. I don't know what you were. You were 28 or something. I mean, we were young. And then Matt as well. We all three of us did it together. And we were all young and into the same kind of comedy. Just a way of working out how to take the things that we all enjoyed and iron out some different, you know, difficulties, most of which were, how do we get this on the telly? And so basically I took a few beatings from the bosses. But other than that, it was fine. They'd say, you can't do this thing with dead rats. You really can't. You know, it's no one at MTV wants dead rats on MTV. It's not a thing that came up in our last meeting. Like, please don't put dead rats. And then I'd have to relay that to Russ, and he'd say, we must have dead rats! It's the whole point!
Without dead rats, there is no show!
But, you know, so I don't know.
But really, basically, it's still that, isn't it? I think we should do more. When I think about it now, the thing I'd like to do more of, it is more of those things. I never feel that we've fully got across all of those weird things. I really want to do more of those weird things, things that are strange and unusual, and like the sort of stuff that we did when we were on MTV.
Yeah.
Things like Pimp My Limp.
There you go. Exactly. Pimp the Limp. That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But in particular, Pimp My Limp. I really enjoyed that, as a matter of fact. Pimp My Limp. What was the other one we did? Pimp My Application.
Pimp My Job before. Application, yeah.
What was the Ashton Kutcher one?
Debunked. But again, that was... I mean, that's just, you know, we had these mad ideas, but we did it within a format and a context of MTV. That was kind of perfect. That was what it was about, really. It's like, how do we get this weird stuff into an MTV audience? This was ages ago, but it was really good fun, wasn't it? It was brilliant.
When you look back on these things, you realise how lovely it is to do something like MTV. You're under such like the pressure. No, it's actually much greater pressure for Gareth Roy, because he was producing shows with difficult talent. But like, it's that, like, it's so low consequence. And we were doing things like interviewing Tom Cruise and Sandler and Jamie Foxx and Christina Aguilera. We had these, because it was MTV, these great big stars were coming in. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I was already acting like I was... Well, I mean, like sort of some cross between Liberace and Madonna. It's like really sort of a right little, a prima donna, wasn't I?
Yeah.
So, as you've produced such a range of stuff, now that you've worked with Russell on TV and radio and everything else that you do, do you have a favourite thing to produce? Do you have a favourite format to produce for?
Well, at the moment, it's the podcast, the Under the Skin, which is, it's great. There's two projects we're doing, obviously, you know, the Radio X and the Under the Skin, but, and they're both wildly diverse, but equally satisfying, aren't they, in terms of one's a kind of mad, chaotic rush of ideas and comedy, and the other is a kind of thought-out, serious, academic-style interview, but translating those ideas to people who would listen to the Radio X show. So they're both...
Yes.
They're really kind of... I feel quite valuable in terms of... there is good content. They're both solid content.
And pure, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like Radio X is not trying to do anything except be silly and fun and to sort of house the relationship between me and Matthew primarily.
Mm.
And then the Under the Skin one is talking about things that you think are important and interesting. So like it's hard because it's hard to do those kind of things on the telly, isn't it? Everything that when you're trying to do it on the telly becomes more complex. When stuff's just audio, seems a lot easier, a lot freer.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sort of like at a point of thinking, oh, are we going to be able to do these kind of things on the telly? How will we do that?
So you've mentioned on the radio show a couple of times about doing... like a TV show with Matt, just doing sketches. Is there any chance that will become an actual thing? Or
we want to do an audio sketches as well. I think in a week or so, me and Matt are going to go and do some like silly voices into a microphone and just show off. But I don't know if it will, like, you know, whether or not we'll do television, because sometimes you have to, you know, get money and concentrate and things that we seem to find a tremendous struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if that, I don't know. If that's, yeah,
Gareth will decide because really he'll ultimately have to do the work.
It would be very nice. It would be nice.
Down to you.
I think people hear that, you know, that radio show and the relationship with Matt and Ross is so unique and so brilliant. It's about finding a way to bottle that energy and go through the rigmarole of turning that into a TV show, of which there it's a big old process to
bottle, rigmarole, process, ordeal.
It yeah, sounds like hard work, doesn't it?
It does, Dan. When you put
they're so in the moment. You know, that's the great thing about that show. Is it's really in the moment. Anything can happen, and the processes you have to go through to make a TV show can stifle that process. So it's about finding a way of, is there a way, you know, can we do that? So I guess that'll be partly about what this process is can we turn it into something that isn't a radio show? Maybe, you know, maybe it's, I don't know. Well, I guess there's a production chat. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we can't do production chats in your interview.
That's all right.
Is there anything else
give me some insight into it.
Aren't they lovely, these
very
two people?
Very nice.
Thanks for being enthusiastic. When I was younger, all I wanted was people to be enthusiastic about me and adore me and to make me have orgasms with very little consequence.
Come on, lads.
So let's move on to the final part of the process, shall we?
The doors, Jen.
They're already locked. No, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to know before we go?
Yeah, just a couple more questions. Are you likely to do...
Push it,
yeah,
isn't it?
Sorry.
Go on, then.
Are you likely to do any more films anytime soon?
No, really. Sometimes I get offered them, but, like, no, I've not been offered anything for a little while that I think I'd like to do, because I really like being at home with my baby. But if I got offered something that was very, very exciting, I probably would. But, like, I've not been offered anything exciting for a little while.
Oh, OK. So has there been any films that you've been offered, you've turned down, and then they've turned into a big success and you thought, oh, I should have done that?
Yes.
Top Gun, wasn't it?
Top Gun. I was offered to play the part of Top Gun in Top Gun, yeah, the main guy.
I remember that.
And I said, no, I don't like that. There's homoerotic subtext. I won't be involved in that. It's encouraging people to go in the wrong direction. Then there was a thing called The Godfather. Well, they said, would you play Vito Corleone and Michael? Yeah, like you know, the Nutty Professor. That's right, yeah, it's very easy. How Eddie Murphy does it. Yes, that's it. I wanted to do that, like Tom Hardy in The Craze, which I was also offered, and I turned that down as well. So mostly, because I like to be at home with my bees, I'm turning down a lot of what, in retrospect, would have been good projects.
Yeah.
Okay, then one final thing just before we go. Is it all right to do some quick fire questions with you?
God, how quick is this fire?
It'll be as quick as I
can. Go on, then.
Okay. Tea or coffee?
Coffee. Please.
Chocolate or
cake? Now!
Chocolate or cake?
Chocolate.
Yeah. To live in England or America?
England, always England.
Favourite restaurant to go out to eat?
Some sort of vegetarian one. Which one
you
is
like
it?
You like Mildred's, don't you?
Mildred's, we like Mildred's, please.
Okay. London or Henley?
Which bit of London and which bit of Henley? No, I like being in the country all quietly.
Yeah, but it's nice there.
It's nice to be quiet.
Books or movies?
Well, like writing a book. Writing a book on your own is never so boring. Well, no, it's not boring. It's isolating. It's a lot of pressure. Books.
Books. Board games or video games?
Video games. I'm Assassin's Creed. I am him.
How are you getting on with that?
I'm all right, I all think. Right. Did you play it?
No.
There's sometimes there's bits where I think it's someone else should go and do this. Do you know what I thought? This is what I thought was wrong. I thought I was going to get someone that worked for me to do a level on Assassin's Creed.
Oh, my God.
Could you do this level on Assassin's Creed? I can't get past this. It's too difficult. And I thought, no, you can't have people that work for you doing things in a virtual world. That's full-on stupidity.
Because we are living
in a material world and we are virtual girls.
One final question. Matt or G?
Oh,
boo!
Why would you separate them? I say mix them up in a blender, tie them together till their DNA is mixed into one poetic neurotic.
That sounds amazing.
Thanks for interviewing us on this thing. I hope you
thank
liked
you
it.
For your time.
Now because it's been
thank you.
Yes.
So there you go. That's it. That's the interview with Russell Brand. Now, that was recorded back in 2017 in July. I went over to London into Global when they were at XFM. Sorry, I've done a Matt Morgan there now. Radio X, in fact. And I went over there and I managed to get some time with Russell and record that interview. And if you're wondering, he's everything you would expect him to be. He's funny, he's polite, he's charming, and he's just the best. They say you shouldn't meet your heroes, but I'm telling you, if you get a chance to meet Russell Brand, definitely go and meet Russell Brand. He's brilliant. Well, that's it for this episode. As I said before, this is an unexpected episode. I finally managed to get it on the podcast stream, so I'm happy it's out there. And like I said, the next episode will be a Matt Morgan special. So send me your Matt Morgan stories, your favourite things about Matt Morgan, whether you do it on Instagram, whether you do it on Facebook, whether you do it in the comments on this, wherever you're listening to me. Somehow contact me and I will receive your messages. Until the next episode, thank you for listening.